T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Top of the hour to you. Welcome back to the program. Excellent Thanksgiving Eve to all of you out there. Getting ready to hopefully get to spend some time with family. Although it might be a little smaller gathering this year. COVID-19 continues to kind of reign over the sports world as we head into the Thanksgiving weekend. Gwynn and Chrisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. and Mr. Scraby. Before we get to some of the headlines of the day, Tony Scraby did an excellent job there 5 minutes ago when you said, please take us to break. And Scraby handled that well, said we'll come back.
He
we'll
did talk do a pretty
little
good
UCLA
job,
Aztec basketball and continue with the program. It was a pretty good job. But I must tell you, it hasn't always been that way for Scraby.
No. Is that
when it comes to taking us to break, and while you were away last week, you missed this gem.
We'll be back here at 5 p.m. with more Mark Ziegler on Aztec basketball at 5:20 p.m.
That was really bad. It's really bad. I forgot where I was going, and then that's, Chris,
that sounded like
I
the
forgot
start,
where I was going.
That sounded like the start of the weather report right there.
Oh,
it was
he
along
did
the
say
same
that.
Lines.
He did say that.
It's along the same
wow,
lines.
Wow, it is raining really hard. This is being cool here on the Entercom Empire. So if you're sitting out there,
what
do you hear? What's the point where my brain malfunctions in this? We'll be back here at 5 p.m. with more Mark Ziegler on.
The same malfunction on the weather report.
Same malfunction.
Same type of thing.
The
same
switches aren't touching.
Yeah, they're not hooked up properly, that's for sure. Big news of the day, COVID-19 affecting the Steelers-Ravens football game tomorrow night. It has been postponed until Sunday. Ravens with some more positive tests today. Kind of a controversial type decision, as it turns out now. The NFL deciding to push the game back till Sunday, angering many of the Steelers who feel like, hey, it's game time. You got to be ready. And if you're not ready, you show up with what you have. And Steelers earlier had a game postponed, and they've had a couple of scheduling changes this year because of the coronavirus. But for some unknown reason, Scraby was probably the maddest person on the planet
unknown,
at this news.
It's Scraby. He's mad. He's literally mad at least
at everything.
Once a day, just like that.
Yeah.
All
and,
the time.
And today, he took the first 15 minutes of the show to try and calm down. He was so angry. And we tried to understand what it would be that would make him so angry about the NFL changing the Ravens-Steelers game until Sunday. And Scraby's explanation was...
49ers had to play with nobody on their team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said it just that calmly, too.
Yeah. No, I've definitely calmed down.
He had steam coming out of his ears when he said it.
49ers had a game earlier in the season where they had a few guys with
blah, blah, blah.
Yes, and their game was not postponed. And as a result, they had to take a beating at the hands of the Green Bay Packers on a Thursday night football game, to which I responded, yes, the NFL made a mistake the first time. They don't want to make the same mistake again. So that's, I think, the main reason that they're moving this back to Sunday. But that is one coronavirus-related item in the sports world. Another is that Alabama's coach Nick Saban has tested positive for COVID-19 for a second time. Or at least a second time. We know that it happened earlier this year on a, I think it was a Tuesday, and he managed to test positive enough over the next few days that he was able to roam the sidelines
that
weekend.
They gave it a false positive is what I think they concluded.
But now, with this positive, Saban will not be able to be on the sidelines for this Saturday's Alabama-Auburn game, the Iron Bowl. So, anyway, best wishes to Nick Saban. Speedy recovery once again on that. 100 college basketball games start the season today, although a couple have been delayed and suspended and whatnot. But all systems are go, as far as we know, at this hour for the Aztecs to tip things off against UCLA. Our coverage begins right after the program tonight here on 97.3 The Fan. You can listen to the game. Don't need to change a channel at all. And you'll be able to tune in to UCLA-San Diego State basketball. Great stats today provided by our friend Mark Ziegler in the newspaper. The Aztecs, Tony Gwynn Jr., over the last handful of years, 160 wins, only 22 losses at Viejas Arena. Now that's
home court advantage.
Really good, man. That's 88%. 160-22. And, you know, I think of that as we kind of head into this season, and you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, Aztecs obviously have to find a way to replace Malachi Flynn, KJ Fagan, Yanni Wetzel. I mean, there's some really good players that they're trying to replace. And obviously Jordan Shackle, who was on the show last week, he'll be back. And Matt Mitchell will be back. He's been on the program in the past. And they got the newcomer, Terrell Gomez from Cal State Northridge. You would have liked him, Tony. When he was on the show, we asked him.
When who was on the show?
Terrell Gomez. The
you guys had him on the show?
Yeah, we had him on last week when you were gone. Sorry, you're just
you guys like
out.
To have the good guests when I'm.
Yes, we
here.
Do. We have all the good guests when you're gone. It's a it's another conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I actually contemplated calling you saying, Tony, you need to come into work today. But...
Yes, it's such a good guest that you'd hate to miss it. But
yeah, you
but
probably would have had me come.
But Terrell said to us on the show. We asked him about his game, you know, what kind of game do you have and, you know, what do you bring to the table? He said, well, I'm the best shooter in the country.
Facts.
Basically said, I'm the best
Love
shooter
it.
In the country.
Love it.
And Scraby followed up with a question, well, if you're that good, would you beat Jordan Shackle in a one-on-one three-point shooting contest? And he said, yes, I'd have to bet on myself for that one. But the facts are the facts. The guy shot 53% from three-point range last year in conference play.
That's ridiculous.
When he was at Cal State Northridge, CSUN, as it were, before transferring to San Diego State. So, guy can shoot.
That's
and
ridiculous.
Fill it up. 53% in conference.
People don't shoot that in the paint.
No, that's a really, really good. Shackle was in the mid to high 40s, I believe, from three-point country last year, which is very good as well. So, I mean, you're going to expect some things from him, although Mark Ziegler told us that he's not going to remind anybody of Malachi Flynn at the defensive end. And so
this is Gomez?
Gomez, yeah, the newcomer. Yeah, he's a little guy, but Ziegler said he has a great ability to get his shot off, and he's fun to watch because he can get the shot off even at the smaller height. But he said that at Cal State Northridge, they didn't tell him to play any defense. Like, they didn't – that wasn't part of their game plan.
Oh, that's definitely part of
so
the Aztec game plan.
So when Mark Ziegler was writing his article today, you know, they said Brian Dutcher evidently has not named the starting lineup for tonight yet. And I figure Gomez would be a surefire starter. But evidently he might be, but it's not the case. And it won't be the case if he doesn't play great defense, because that's what San Diego State's calling card is.
Yeah.
And they get Nathan Mensa back in the middle to help erase some things. You know, if guys get beat on the dribble, you got a shot blocker at the rim now, which you didn't have a year ago. But, you know, Shackle will be there, and you know Mitchell will be there playing defense. And the Aztecs kind of have a whole new ball club in a lot of ways. I think a lot's going to be a lot's going to be on the game of Trey Pulliam, who was, I think, a really nice compliment at point guard last year. You know, whenever they'd take Malachi out or Fagan out, Pulliam always, I thought he always came in and did a really nice job. I think he's going to have a much bigger role this year. And but they're going to need somebody to step up, and Aztecs have been great at that the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Seems like every time they go into kind of a question mark area – somebody comes out of nowhere. I don't think people realize this, and Mark Ziegler, again, pointing, I'm giving him all the credit because he put so many good things in his story, but Jamal Franklin, the year before he was named the Mountain West Conference Player of the Year, was the ninth man on the Aztec roster the year before that. So he developed that remarkably well, and the Aztecs are hoping to find somebody else like that this year. But it's a tough matchup tonight. We kind of made fun of the fact that UCLA's ranked and the Aztecs aren't and the Aztecs should be and et cetera. But evidently UCLA's bringing back all of their starters
from last year,
and they finished up winning 11 of their last 14 games. So Mick Cronin had them playing very well. This is a very big test right out of the gate for San Diego State, and I'm not quite sure which way the game's going to go tonight. It should be very interesting to watch, but we'll see if any of these Aztecs can kind of step up to the challenge because they're playing a really good team in UCLA.
Yeah, listen, the first couple games out on the slate are tough ones.
Yeah.
UCLA, Arizona State.
UC Irvine is the defending Big West Conference champion as well, and they're on the schedule.
Yeah.
He was talking about their non-conference schedule. BYU's on there. BYU, St. Mary's is always,
tough
matchup. So they've got some really good non-conference games. But it'll be, it's become kind of a rite of winter to be able to watch the San Diego State team come together and be good under first Steve Fisher and Brian Dutcher. But I just wanted to point out, I think the Aztec basketball fans, and if you're in the show, you're probably not going to like this. And I got to be careful anytime you say anything that the show may not like.
The show is
because
very
that means I'll be tweeted to death on this.
Yes,
but I think we need to expect a lot of things, and obviously always support and root and hope and that our team is good. But the Aztecs have been so good, I don't know that they haven't spoiled everybody a little bit.
I can get on board.
And I'm just saying that if they lose a couple of games this year, the odds of them going 30-2 again, well, they're probably nil. They're not playing 32 games. But 30-2 is a magical, ridiculous season.
Are you kidding me? Yes.
Right? I mean, so if they lose a couple of games here in the first month trying to get this thing worked out, doesn't mean you can't have the same passion and appreciation for the San Diego State basketball program as you've had the last 10 years. And that's all I'm saying.
It's always easy to root for your team when they're undefeated.
Right.
And they're pushing. But that's not the norm.
Yeah. If they open up 3-3 and they lose a couple of games at Viejas with nobody in the stands, I'm not saying they will. I don't know what's going to happen with this team. They might just shoot out of there, go 6-12, 15, 18-0 again and get the map again like they got last year. When they were the last undefeated team left in the nation. Maybe they'll do that again, but the odds of that happening are not real good because they're playing a real tough schedule and it's a kind of a new look team. But I think that to a certain extent, the San Diego State faithful have become a little spoiled, and they got to be careful to make sure that they, hang in there with this team and see where it goes. Let's see how it starts tonight and let's see where it goes from here. But, I'm more than willing to appreciate what San Diego State has accomplished over the last 15 years and give them a mulligan should they need one.
Every year brings a different set of circumstances, a different personality for the team. So, listen, it may be that they could start 3-3, as you say. They could start 6-0 again, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
It's going to be a completely different year. So, you're right. We here in San Diego tend to get spoiled one year, and our expectations become almost
too much
too
to
much
fulfill
to handle.
Yeah.
And but you're right. I'm glad you pointed that out.
All right, I want to see if the show can twist around anything I said there and create a mean-spirited tweet toward me.
Has there been a little back and forth between you and the show?
No,
oh,
never.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't say never.
Let's get that started then.
Yeah. I wouldn't say never. I mean, when the Aztecs were struggling to get good, it took me a while to come around. And I took a couple of lashings, but that was a long time ago.
It took you a while to come around to the show?
No, it just took me a while to come around to the fact that San Diego State was good. I mean, they were. Look, I lived through the years of Fred Trinkle. They were not good. They were so bad. Listen, it took me a while to come around and really believe that they were good.
As your fellow alum, you do not need to explain yourself to me. I know what it's like to have been an Aztec for the tough years.
Those weren't even tough years, right? I mean, those were just like bottom of the scraping of the barrel years for so many years.
That is why we both feel the way we do about the Aztecs now and appreciating them the way
we do. I just appreciate what these guys have done. Dutcher and, of course, Fisher before him and all these kids, and they've been remarkable. So let's see what happens tonight. Tough challenge, good game. We'll have it for you following our program. When we come back, we'll get back to the SDCCU fan hotline, get back to the NFL. Leo Luna from Sports Illustrated will join us. Talk some National Football League. That's next. First, though, we check traffic. Kelly Danick as we go out to a quick timeout here on 97.3 The Fan.
5:22 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ellum, Matt Scraby, who is all the way calm now that we've talked out this whole 49er
game.
Yeah, he seems to be in a much better mood.
He's glad the NFL moved the Ravens.
Hold on. I'm trying not to let it ruin my Thanksgiving, okay?
All right, well, you continue to work on that. We need to get to the SDCCU fan hotline. And on that hotline is Leo Luna, Sports Illustrated. Leo, thank you for joining us once again, my man.
I appreciate you guys having me back. Glad to be on.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you think about this Ravens-Steeler game being postponed? Obviously, the Ravens have been hit pretty hard with the COVID-19 pandemic kind of filtering through their locker room. They've decided that Sunday is the best move. I know some of my 49er fans are feeling some type of way about how their team was forced to play. What's your take on this?
My take pretty much is a text I received from a player. Can't say what player, can't say what team. But what that text included was a gift with money. And that's what it comes down to. It's about the ratings. When you look at that 49ers game, it was Thursday night. That's the only game being played. And even if the NFL rescheduled that, well, if they reschedule Sunday, Jimmy Garoppolo's not coming back. Raheem Mostert's not coming back. George Kittle, Nick Bosa, Richard Sherman, and Dee Ford. All those guys wouldn't have been available after a reschedule. Mm. So in their mind, the most views they're going to get and the highest ratings they're going to get for that matchup is on that Thursday. Meanwhile, with the Ravens, they had the same amount of players. Seven players between the Packers and 49ers with seven players as well. And with that game, the marquee matchup, they're going to get high ratings no matter if they play that tomorrow night or if they play that on Sunday. People are still going to tune in and watch that game no matter what other games are on. And that's what it came down to, is basically the financial gain with that the NFL receives with the higher ratings. The NFL's, it's a business. It's always been that way. They're the three major sports, baseball, football, and basketball. They are the only one that doesn't have a fully guaranteed contract. The other two, basketball and baseball, they do. So it's always been that way. I think it's frustrating, not only for 49ers fans, Steelers fans as well, because the quote-unquote is for the interest of the players. Well, if that's the case, why didn't the 49ers-Packers get rescheduled when the Packers had two players test positive and go on the list the day after the game? So that's just where it gets a little confusing, and that's the gray area of the NFL.
See, Scraby, you should have brought some of that up on your earlier argument. That
I
was
believe
good
I did.
Stuff.
I
no, you didn't bring
did
up anything
bit.
About
yes,
the safety of the
did.
Players. And the bottom line is, Leo's right here. I mean, the safety of the players is what the NFL talks about, but it seems like it's kind of the last thing they care about. I mean, all season long, they've been managing to get games in, and guys test positive the day after games. Adam Thielen was the latest, and then they turned out it was wrong. But anyway, my point is, it seems like the NFL has just moved, forged ahead here, Leo, all year long, and everybody's just kind of had to make do with whatever the NFL has decided. And so I think you bring up a good point. Money is kind of the critical factor here, yeah?
Absolutely, absolutely. They're going to try to get in this season because with basketball, you have the bubble. With baseball, it was a little warmer month. Right now, we're going to kind of be in the thick of things. I'm not a doctor. I don't know everything with COVID. But what they do say is that it does spike with the colder days, and we're seeing that right now. We're kind of in the spike of things. So it's going to be very interesting to see what the NFL does moving forward. The Jacksonville Jaguars, for instance, their defensive staff is not even in the building because of COVID. So they're going to try to get in this season as much as possible.
Leo Luna, Sports Illustrated, joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. And Leo, give me your MVP right now in the NFL. Make a case for him, too.
Make a case for him. Okay. So earlier in the season, I probably would have said Russell Wilson. I'm tearing off from that just a bit. He could definitely get there. But I think you can throw Ben Roethlisberger's name there, but I don't think he's an MVP. I'm going to have to go with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
That team is still elite. They're the best team in the NFL in my mind. They're 9-1 currently. And something I thought about is watching that Sunday night game. Any quarterback, does he really do that? Maybe Tom Brady in his prime, but right now, no one really but Patrick Mahomes. Most teams would probably go down, kick the field goal, go to overtime. No, with a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, you go for the throat and you go for the win every single time. And that's exactly what they did. And they have the most points scored in the NFL. And he has Tyreek Hill. He has Travis Kelce. Those two are elite players as receivers, but it seems like he makes those other guys a whole of a lot better around him.
Leo, you mentioned Tom Brady and you know Tom Brady in his prime wins that game, and I'm thinking Tom Brady in his prime wins the Monday night game against the Rams. So how far away is Tom Brady from his prime right now?
I don't want to put full blame on Tom Brady because that offensive play calling is pretty terrible.
said this week. Same thing.
Right. They had 67 plays, and they used pre-snap motion only 6 of those plays. So 61%, you're just showing the defense exactly what you're doing. And with the Rams defense, that's number one defense in yardage. They're going to figure it out, and they're going to know how to stop you when you're not fooling their face, basically, throwing smoke screens with having pre-snap motion. And that's something you need when you have an older quarterback that's non-mobile. And the Buccaneers offense, they have playmakers. So I don't understand why they're not using play action. Bruce Arians, he's kind of refusing to have Tom Brady play his game, and he's forcing him to throw downfield in 20-plus air yards. What air yards means for the people that are listening is the ball from the line of scrimmage 20 yards down the field in the air, not yards after the catch. Yeah. So he's kind of – Bruce Arians, he's saying it in his press conference, oh, I'm not sure that Tom Brady's understanding the reads. He's not understanding the defense. That's not what we're seeing here in practice. Well, maybe you should call a more Tom Brady game and let Tom Brady do what turned him into a 6-time – Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
That would be smart.
I think there's a lot of people out there, Leo, that
that's the same thing somebody else said earlier this
way.
Week.
Yeah.
I hadn't even thought of it, but it's interesting that a lot of people are thinking the same way on this.
Yeah, play calling has been a little bit shaky. Leo, as always, man, appreciate you coming on, spending some time with us. We'll check in with you as we get a little bit closer to the best part of the season, which is playoff time.
Definitely sounds great. Hopefully we get there as well as
happy turkey day, guys. Kidding. I know,
we're,
right?
We're further along than I ever thought we'd make it. Leo, good talking to
happy
you.
Happy turkey day to you as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Leo Luna right there from Sports Illustrated on some NFL stuff. And, well, there, you know what? I was all over, you know, Bruce Arians a little bit earlier. Maybe I should be, but... You know, it's funny because Tom Brady keeps throwing the ball down the field, and that's what everybody's noticing, that he's got to stop throwing the ball down the field, and the stats backed it up. Wasn't he like 1-for-16 or something?
Yeah.
And passes at 20 yards or more. I mean, they have all these statistics available, but Bruce Arians keeps pushing it down the field, and Tom Brady keeps throwing interceptions down the field. So maybe it is a coach.
Double payback days are here. You use your SDCCU debit or credit card, and you could win up to $1,000. No purchase necessary. For details, visit SDCCU.com. You know, I think Leo's right at this point. Once you get into the season and it's about winning games, you should do whatever you can to put your players in the best position. But they had a whole free agency where they courted him. And I find it hard to believe that the discussion of the playbook and what type of plays would be called
didn't come up in the conversation.
One time.
Yeah.
Like that, to me, I look at it as the part of the reason Brady wanted to leave was to prove he could do it a different way. Mm-hmm. And he's getting an opportunity to do it a different way. Because the dink and dunk thing, we've seen that in New England, and it worked. I think he knows it worked. I think we all know it works at this point.
Right.
Now he gets to try it a different way. He gets to try to stretch the field a little bit. And to this point, it's been very, very inconsistent. So will Bruce Arians kind of retreat and start calling plays that Tom? Does Tom even want that? Does Tom want to try to figure? Who knows how this whole thing plays out? But I think it's pretty obvious that they're not hitting on all cylinders.
No, not against good defenses, they're not. And exactly. It'll be interesting to see this weekend. They got a tough matchup with Kansas City. Not that Kansas City has a great defense, but Tom Brady's going to need to put up 35 points if he wants to win that game.
Kansas City's
putting their 35
there's
up,
no question.
Even against Tampa Bay's defense, which isn't too bad. So,
all right, let's step away, get to break. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we have ourselves a countdown.
Get hungry.
We're talking leftovers when we return. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3. The Fan!
Hey, one thing, we better get right back to the show. We really got to get back to the show. 5:39, happy Thanksgiving Eve to you. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris, little Matt Scraby as well. As we roll towards 7 o'clock this evening, and of course, tomorrow everybody will have their Thanksgiving dinner, and then on Friday, you'll have a whole bunch of stuff left over, and question is, will you know what to do with it? Well, we've got some tips for you coming up in our countdown, but first let's check traffic with Kelly Danick.
Gwen and Chris like to rank things. Not college rankings, not athlete rankings.
So what's your point?
But their own rankings. And these rankings can be very serious.
Top five ways that we like potatoes.
Top five pizzas.
Top five ways to beat the heat.
I like where this is going. Giggity, giggity, giggity.
The countdown starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Today, top five leftover Thanksgiving feasts to enjoy the day after.
Number five.
Boy, we're getting right into this one.
Oh, I thought that was my cue.
No messing around.
I thought that was my cue.
No, you're good. Number five for me is turkey pot pie. Take whatever turkey you got left over, get it into a pot pie, bake it up, do whatever you got to do to make a good pot pie, because I like pot pie, but I like...
But turkey is the leftover we're talking
about. The leftover turkey makes the pot pie even better than your normal everyday pot pie. Like a real turkey that you use all the rest of the meat, stick it on in there with the peas and carrots and sauce and pie crust.
Go ahead, then.
That's my number five. It's a start.
My number five is ham.
I tell you, ham.
And you have this slice of piece of ham from your nice ham that you had that's left over.
Yeah.
And you throw it in with some breakfast in the morning.
Ah.
That's one of my...
How about between two pieces of white bread with mayonnaise?
Normally, without the mayonnaise part.
Oh, you don't like mayonnaise?
I can't stand mayonnaise.
No pickles, I'm sure.
Definitely no pickles. Normally, the bread would be inputted in this.
Pickles?
I am trying to stay away from the carbs.
I know. Bit. Well, then you're not going to like my number four.
I probably will.
Number four.
All right, this is something that my mother-in-law once made, and it's probably a little better than it sounds.
Have you hit us with this one before? I feel like you're about to say something.
Probably because we've done this topic before.
Stop it. Stuffing waffles.
Stuffing waffles.
Don't knock it until you try it.
Stuffing.
Take whatever stuffing you have left over.
Right.
And mix it in with your waffle batter the next morning.
So these aren't even necessarily leftovers. These are like made up dishes out
of
leftovers.
This is a dish, yes, with using the leftovers. Oh. I'm using my leftover stuffing.
You got creative on this
one. And I'm making waffles with stuffing in the waffles.
Do you use syrup?
I almost said something that I shouldn't have. Yes! I'll just say yes.
I'm just asking.
I almost said there's a bear, and then I didn't. Of course I use syrup. I use syrup, butter, and every other thing you're allowed to use on waffles as well.
Okay.
But it creates an interesting taste.
Could you stuff the waffle batter
and then just make a waffle.
What is the... My mind is creating an interesting taste. Yeah. Could you
expound?
Could you go a little further?
Yes, it tastes like waffles with stuffing in it.
I knew that was coming.
I don't know what else to tell you. I should have known. I don't know. I think the fact that there's, you know, crunchy stuff in stuffing, like celery and stuff, it just kind of changes the texture of your waffles.
All right.
Hell no.
It's a whole different thing.
Yay! That's not me pushing
that. That wasn't him. That was Scraby
no,
being
Tony,
my voice.
Tony, stop Hell saying no. Stop saying that.
Okay, number four.
Well, that's all right if you guys don't like it. Or if you don't like it, Scraby, that's more for me.
Yeah, I'm good.
Uh-huh. Sure. Thanks. You are. If I brought some stuffing waffles in here Monday, he'd scarf.
I'm not a
quickly.
Stuffing guy. I don't eat stuffing.
You don't like stuffing in
no,
general?
No, because it's been inside the turkey while the turkey was...
It's cooking?
Was raw.
You can make stuffing outside the turkey as well.
No, I don't like
stuffing. By
the way,
stuffing...
You can make it in both spots.
Stuffing... isn't always made inside the turkey, Scrap.
Oh, that's right.
Just so you know.
You can make a little batch outside the turkey as well.
Matter of fact, I don't know. I can't remember the last time stuffing was in the turkey at my house.
And the other key thing to stuffing is toast the bread.
Yes. Yeah, because the bread
will
fall apart.
It's not soggy.
Yeah. Number four.
Scraby's giving me a look for that as well.
I don't like soggy bread either.
Well, you don't get soggy bread if you toast the bread. That'll save it.
Oh,
tell your mom.
Scraby, you are something else.
Tell my mom.
How about a little cranberry? A little leftover cranberry.
Yeah, well, of course.
Yeah.
You can do anything
just
with
cranberry?
It? You're just going to eat it straight up.
With my stuffing.
With your stuffing?
Yes.
Okay.
And what Perfect. About on top of a stuffing waffle?
Oh, stop.
No, I'm serious. I think that would be pretty good, right?
That actually seems like it's in the waffle category.
Syrup's better, but yeah.
What about if you put some cranberry and syrup and butter?
Oh, my goodness. Why not?
My stomach is hurting.
It's a free country.
It's a free country.
Last time.
Number three
for me is turkey soup. Just straight up making up soup with turkey bones and turkey leftovers in there. Turkey soup.
don't let them rattle you, Chris.
I'm sorry.
He tried to right now.
It's a well-known fact that I can't do anything off of a bone or near a bone.
Can't eat ribs?
Save that clip.
So you don't eat ribs?
With a fork and knife, I do.
Wait, how does that work? With a fork and knife?
You scrape it off with the knife and you eat it up with the fork.
When you go to Popeye's and you get a...
He doesn't go to Popeye's.
No. Oh, I would go to Popeye's, but I wouldn't get anything with a bone in it.
That is not... You realize that is where the flavor comes from.
Yes, but when I was little, I bit into a chicken wing and it broke into my mouth into a million pieces, and I will never, ever eat anything with a bone in it.
You had a bad experience, huh?
Terrible experience. All right.
Number three. Peach cobbler. I mean, little ice cream. Always this peach cobbler, if it's not eaten by the time Thanksgiving is over,
you gotta eat it on the next morning.
It usually is very tasty the following day as well.
Okay.
Number two.
All right, I'm very excited about my top two because they're both fantastic. One, or number two, is a mashed potato omelet. I'm waiting for it, Scraby. Go ahead. Oh, that one's okay with you.
I love mashed potatoes.
Just
an omelet, though. You create some weird
potato
breakfast
omelets.
Items.
Of course, it's a little creativity, but you've certainly had breakfast potatoes with your eggs.
Yes.
So it's just another version of potatoes, but you make your omelet and then take some leftover mashed potatoes and dump it in there and make sure you heat the mashed potatoes back up a little bit.
I'm in.
It's a phenomenal item.
That is
You know who used to make?
That actually made me kind of hungry.
You know who used to make a big-time mashed potato omelet? And I believe they'll still make it for you, but it's not on the menu anymore. It's Cheesecake Factory. They used to actually have that item on the menu. Mashed potato omelet. Huh? Yes.
Interesting.
Better come on in and tell me I sent you.
Good timing.
Come on in and tell him I sent you.
Yes.
Okay, number two for me is mac and cheese. It really can be reheated.
You got to make a ton of it on Thanksgiving so that you have some for Friday.
There's usually leftovers at our house, yep. And mac and cheese is the one that doesn't last the longest.
I got to believe the kids go pretty wild for that.
Yeah. They have to be removed from the table at some point.
Have you ever done Sam the Cooking Guy's mac and cheese?
I have not.
No. Look up the recipe online. It's not that much more difficult to make, but there's some bacon involved and some crispy stuff on the top. I forget exactly what it is.
Bacon and crispy stuff. That's
the crispy stuff. It changes the texture a little bit, but bacon is never going to hurt any.
No, by the way, I've recently been introduced to some Wagyu beef bacon.
Oh, wow. That is fancy.
What is that?
Wow. Unbelievable.
Is that going to the give me some meat category?
That definitely goes into the
give me some meat
category.
What wasn't Wagyu like the top brand of steak?
Oh, yeah, it was. And this guy called it.
That was when it was.
It's heaven in a piece of meat.
Exactly.
Heaven in a piece of meat, yes. So Wagyu bacon.
Yeah. That wasn't a part of our countdown.
Where can I find that?
I don't
know. The most expensive meat market in San Diego.
I don't go to the most expensive meat market in San Diego.
I gotta go searching for it.
I don't know. I took it out of my mom's freezer. She had it. So.
I love that.
Alicia. Number one. Oh, did you do number two?
I did number two.
My bad. Number one, the best thing you can possibly have on Friday is a turkey and cranberry sauce sandwich. I don't think anything's better than that. Just take the turkey out. Pop it on some bread, take whatever cranberry, and my mother-in-law's husband, Franz, which I mentioned before, makes the best cranberry sauce I've ever had. So he always makes a ton of it so that I can take some home and put it on a turkey sandwich the next day. Turkey and cranberry sauce sandwich. Outstanding.
Sandwich will be number one on my list. Doesn't have cranberry on it, but it's a fried turkey and cheddar cheese sandwich.
Oh, my goodness.
You got to melt it in one of the toaster ovens.
Oh, yes.
Put it in there. That way everything's getting toasted at the same time. Cheese is melting. The fried turkey's heating up. You get the bread toasted. And then whatever, you know, other toppings you like. I like a little hot sauce.
Seems like we're going to eat a lot worse on Friday than we are on Thursday this week.
There's a good chance.
Looking
especially if we're taking eggs and mashed potatoes sometimes.
Mashed potato omelet.
Peach cobbler and ice cream. Yeah, we're not.
There's some calories in
there. There's a lot of calories in there.
You guys cherry pie fans?
I am a cherry pie fan.
Love cherry pie. Chris?
I'm going to go back to your story with the chicken bones. I once got stomach poisoning, poisoning from a cherry pie, so it's hard for me to ever eat another one.
That'll do it.
That will do it.
Yeah. I can't say I don't it, but it just the one that I had didn't work.
There's nothing worse than getting sick when you're eating, like because, you know, food poisoning or something along those lines.
Yeah.
It's a good thing I haven't gotten food poisoning on, you know, something I really, really need to eat.
Yeah.
That I really, really like.
What if a string cheese, which is Chris's favorite snack food in the studio, gave you food poisoning? Would you ever be able to eat string cheese again?
He'd bounce back.
That I could probably bounce back from because I would just assume it was a bad piece of string cheese.
Yeah.
But the cherry pie thing stuck with me for whatever reason. So just funny that you brought that up because that was my one food poisoning experience.
I also ate a hot dog with cheese inside of it one time when I was little.
Hot dog with cheese? That sounds like a stomach poisoning thing just to begin with.
It wasn't too good. Threw up a few times after I ate. I think I was like maybe 9 or 10. Did a good long while without hot dogs for, let me tell you. Hot dog talk.
Women's basketball. We got a couple seconds left before the top of the hour. I'm sure you guys saw the score of this game today.
The South Carolina game?
Yeah, number one ranked South Carolina opened its season against College of Charleston. And I can't believe Dawn Staley, the coach at South Carolina, who seems class all the way every time I've ever, you know, seen her interviewed and, you know, her job as coach and everything. But they win 119-38 today. Yeah, I said it. 119-38. That's an 81-point victory. Is this good for anything? Or do we just chalk it up to South Carolina doesn't have any players bad enough that they can put on the floor and not extend the lead in the fourth quarter?
I almost am positive that none of the starters played this game, more than a half in this game.
Yeah.
And that would lead to what you just finished saying, that South Carolina just doesn't have any players on that roster.
Yeah, they're so good. Nobody on South Carolina played more than 22 minutes. So, yeah they didn't play the second half.
Leave it to the internet to try to make this score worse than it actually was.
Oh, yeah?
Scraby and I ran into a 119-7 score.
Oh, somebody posted that as the score?
That we thought was real. If we didn't do our research, you know, that's what we do here. We don't just throw stuff
at you guys. Yes, we research everything.
We research.
I tried to.
Yes, we do.
We would have had 119-7, and we would have been. It would have been
now
like
that
a national...
we would have been able to get on Dawn Staley a little bit for.
Right.
But yeah, her starter scored 67 points in the game, so the rest of it came from the bench. She went 11 players deep. I don't know how many players she's got on her roster, but 119-38 was the final score.
You very rarely will find a college roster, men or women's, with a 10-man rotation.
Yeah,
just doesn't happen very often.
No. So she I.
She did I'm her sure best she, not to run the
but
score.
But in basketball, I've seen this, you know, in some high school games. If you're putting the bench in, you can't tell them not to
right.
take
they've,
shots
they've earned,
and dribble.
They've earned a
they
shot to
get
play.
A play, and they got to, you know. So I'm going to give Dawn Staley the benefit of the doubt on an 81-point victory today. Happy Hour is next, and it kicks off with Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show. 833-288-0973. Call in. We need two contestants to have a chance to win that trip to Vegas. Now's the time to call on 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.